You're listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.
Am I on? You're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan, and I'm here with my co-host, Robert Palmer.
And Keith Moon on drums.
That's a sad story, don't
Very
you think?
Sad.
Yeah. You know, sort of those drug overdose musicians. We should do a show on that sometime, honestly.
Yeah, they said they needed two drummers to replace him, and they finally got Simon Phillips for a while, but now he plays with Toto, but amazing drummer replaced him.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Hey, a couple of things this morning business-wise. I want to give a shout-out to some listeners. We have some new listeners, Dwight and Karen McKenna from, I think that's Rancho Santa Margarita or Trabuco Canyon out in that area.
Margarito.
Margarito. And let's not forget our sponsor.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're now sponsored by Jimmy's Famous American Tavern in Dana Point, and the restaurant is created and operated by restaurateur David Wilhelm, and it features what? American comfort food, cocktails, micro brews, California wines, open for lunch and dinner. Anything else you can kind of add to that?
Beautiful setting on the harbor, overlooking the harbor. They've got a living wall. It's gorgeous. A lot of TVs, a lot of tap beer, tap wine.
Yeah.
Delicious food.
Yeah, delicious food. Everything about it is great. So as part of that sponsorship, by the way, we're going to give away a gift card this morning, Robert. I want to make sure you're hearing me on this.
I got it.
Okay.
We're giving stuff away?
We're giving stuff
away.
For free?
For free. Wow.
It's the only way we can try to attract listeners. We're hoping this helps. But here's the deal. To the first caller, sometime this morning, who can correctly identify Robert's real job. What does Robert really do other than, you know, co-hosting this show with me?
I have a job?
Yeah. what is Robert's real job if you've been listening to this show? Call 949-715-5936, 949-715-5936. And if you guess correctly, we'll take your name and contact information, and we'll make sure you get a gift card from Jimmy's Famous American Tavern. All right. Also, a couple of other business things. Tonight, 8 p.m. on Cox TV. And tomorrow, 12 noon, is the Radio Caravan show. Tonight's episode, if you want to call it an episode, is Wyland, who was in here a while back talking about his Blues Planet CD. And there were like two or three performances by Nicky Hernandez, who I think you're a big fan of as well.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's tonight, 8 o'clock Cox, and 12 noon tomorrow on Cox Channel 3, Radio Caravan. Also, Robert, let's talk about you, because really this show is all about you.
As it should be.
As
Thank
it
you.
Should be.
Thank you.
What did you do last night? Anything fun?
Well, I was out with you last night, actually. South Coast Repertory Theater this year is premiering a number of new plays. Indeed, on the arduous stage, every play is a brand new world premiere.
Yeah.
And last night they had 5 Mile Lake. It was a beautiful story. The playwright was there. The director, of course, was there. We had a wonderful dinner with him ahead of time. Uh-huh. And you went to the after party, as I recall.
I did. I stopped by the after party. I'd never been to that before. Beautiful facilities, by the way. Really, just gorgeous facilities.
It is nice. And they have, in the main stage, Rest is playing right now. So you've got two fantastic plays going on at South Coast Repertory that you ought to check out.
And you saw Rest as well, did you not?
I did. It was fantastic. It's by one of the leading playwrights in America right now. He's got 6 plays opening all around the country this year. And it's a really well-done show.
Yeah, great. Well, I had a great time. It was just fun being watching the play, being in the theater, looking at the actors, you know, and seeing the people after. It was just an incredible experience for me. So I encourage people to go. 5 Mile Lake, South Coast Repertory. Great. Do we have somebody on the phone?
A winner.
A winner? What do you mean a winner?
Someone's already called in.
Can we get them on the air?
Yeah.
Let's get back. So we're giving away a gift certificate to Jimmy's Famous American Tavern. Let's get this listener online and figure out how they managed to guess correctly Robert's true job. Are we on? Hello, listener.
Good morning.
Hey, who's this?
Faye Chapman.
Well, hi, Faye Chapman.
How are you guys this morning?
We're doing well. We should point out that Faye is a Laguna Beach resident, and she occasionally takes pictures for us here.
She does indeed. She's a great photographer, has her own business.
She has her own business, very successful and very sought after. And you must have been listening this morning, and you want a gift card to Jimmy's Famous American Tavern.
That's awesome. I'm very excited about that. Of course I was listening to you guys when I'm not there. I have to be listening.
I love that.
I like that loyalty. Have you been to Jimmy's before?
I have not, but I'm looking forward to going.
Well, that's if you win. Now, you know, the question was to the first caller who correctly identifies Robert's real job. Here we go. Faye, what is Robert's real job?
He's a famous attorney.
Woo, she even got the famous part right.
Oh, she got half of it right. I am an attorney.
All right, very nice. Faye,
infamous would have been the correct answer, I think.
Infamous. Well, Faye, thanks always for listening, and we got your contact information. We know where you live, so we'll make arrangements for that gift certificate, and thanks for calling in.
Okay, you have a great show.
Thank you, Faye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah,
that surprised me. Yeah,
it was like a 10b5 insider secret information.
It wasn't. I mean, I didn't pre-announce it to her or anything. So.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's cool. Okay, let's do a little business this morning. Police blotter. What do we got going on?
Today's police blotter.
All right, Laguna Beach, you think you live in a virgin paradise, safe, sound, tucked away in your little blanket called Laguna. Well, it's actually a deep, dark, seedy hellhole out there. I've got just a few of the examples from this week's Street Beat in the Laguna paper.
Okay.
Some of these are just terrifying, knee-knocking. Tuesday, April 8th, trespassing. Catherine Louise Keller, 41, was arrested for a warrant found standing on a rooftop with two men. How do you find three people standing on a rooftop?
Well, that is interesting.
But there's better. Assault with a deadly weapon. Douglas Allen Fries, 33, was arrested for bashing a guy's face in and then smashing a whiskey bottle into a woman's face and fleeing. He came up with a disguise by shaving his head, but was quickly recognized and taken into custody.
Wow. Well,
it's an elaborate disguise, isn't it?
It really is elaborate. And he was so quick to kind of shave his head. I wonder, did he just have clippers available? Or
I don't know, but here's my favorite petty theft story of the week. All right. Gregory Herring, 63, of San Clemente, was arrested for suspicion of burglary after walking shoeless into a store, putting on a $62 pair of shoes, and leaving. When he was arrested, he told officers he was going to court that day and needed shoes. Kind of love that idiot. Here's a fraud claim. 300 Ocean Avenue. A lingerie customer wrote a check on a closed checking account.
Wow.
Now, how desperate do you have to be to write a bad check to get a pair of panties and a bra?
Well, do you know that there were panties and a bra? Or
I'm just guessing. I don't think it was socks. It wouldn't cost $1,100. I think they're at Perla or something for that kind of a price.
Yeah.
But there's two more, and these are my favorites. Saturday, North Coast Highway, Irvine Cove Drive. A skateboarder fell off of his board while the board scooted across the road at 3:05 p.m. on Saturday. How is that a crime?
Well, how is that a crime?
I don't know, but it's in the police blotter.
Huh? Maybe he injured himself and they had to send out emergency personnel or something.
I don't know.
Okay.
But here's an alert citizen report. Mm-hmm. Coast Highway, Saturday. A caller reported seeing a large hyena blocking the stairs to Tuvido Beach. Police later determined it was actually a sea lion.
Somebody confused a hyena.
With a sea lion.
With a sea lion.
Yes, indeed.
That's interesting. Yeah, good stuff. Speaking of shoes, what kind of shoes are you wearing today? I noticed they don't have shoe laces.
I got my Chuck Taylors on. I always got my Chuck Taylors on.
Are they comfortable shoes?
They're very comfortable. Yeah. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
And those pumps look stunning on you.
I appreciate that, man.
You move so well in them. Thank you.
Yeah, it shows off my calf muscle.
That was my Richard Gere homage to you this morning.
All right. Here we go. Hey, about town. What do we got going on
now,
around town?
Your man about town.
Well, first of all, we got a lot going on. This is April, right?
That's right.
And you know what April is.
Tell me.
Well, number one, she's our producer over here.
Oh, I do know April, yes.
But also, the month of April is Grilled Cheese Month. Can you believe that?
Grilled Cheese Month.
It is Grilled Cheese Month, and who doesn't love grilled cheese? So I thought I'd do a roundup for some of the best grilled cheeses around town here for folks. So first of all, we're going to start off gourmet, okay? Tommy Bahama's downtown It's featuring a lobster grilled cheese sandwich. It's a whole Maine lobster with four types of grilled fromage and a bowl of tomato bisque. Doesn't that sound good?
Well, that sounds great.
And then if you want to go outside, you can go to the deck. They've got Vermont cheese, a little Newski bacon, and caramelized onions served with kettle chips. Doesn't that sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay, you want to go more European, perhaps. You could go to Laguna Coffee Company. They have three different grilled cheese paninis featuring Swiss, cheddar, and provolone with a side of chips and, oddly enough, carrots.
Carrots?
No, I don't think that goes with a grilled cheese.
I mean, pickles I could see, but carrots?
Zinc Market, on the other hand, has a Gruyere cheese.
Has a what?
Gruyere cheese.
What is that?
French.
Oh, okay.
Very soft, very creamy.
Yeah, okay.
And they serve it with pickles.
Hey. I called it.
But there's more. Hennessy's Tavern. They've got Irish cheddar, jack cheese, and a side bowl of tomato bisque soup.
I love tomato bisque soup.
And the Cliff Restaurant has a classic white cheddar. But my personal recommendation would be the Lumberyard, which features almost a dozen grilled cheese sandwiches, all of which suck except for one. It's called the Robert.
Talk about the Robert.
It's three types of cheddar. It's old school. It's on grilled sourdough and served with a side of tomato bisque, and was invented and named after yours truly, the Robert.
You have your own sandwich.
$10 for Monday night football night. Go down and try it.
Really? That's like a Seinfeld episode, you know? You've got your own sandwich at the Yard House. Not the Yard House, the Lumber Yard. In Laguna Beach. It's called the Robert.
It's delicious. You should try it.
It's not on the menu.
It is now. Oh, it used to be an off item. It used to be like a 4x4.
Do you get some sort of like trademark or copyright or royalties from the sales of those?
I just kid Carrie that it's my sandwich and I came up with a better sandwich than he did. So. Other than that, that's justification enough.
All right. Pickles, though, or carrots?
Oh, no, we do. We do not do that on my sandwich.
It's just tomato bisque.
Tomato bisque and a sandwich. And I like a little ketchup on the side. Absolutely delicious.
Where do you put the ketchup?
You dip your grilled cheese in the ketchup.
Really?
You should try it.
Mustard, I could see. Ketchup, I don't really.
Mustard would be wrong.
Really?
Totally wrong.
All right, there you go. What do I know?
But there's more.
Oh, I'm sorry, go.
There's some movies coming out.
Cool.
Looks pretty horrible to me, but Transcendence is Johnny Depp's latest attempt not to have an absolute bomb. I don't think he's going to do that well.
Yeah.
Story about a computer genius who actually dies and uploads his brain, and then he takes over the world. Looks very silly to me. The antithesis of that is a sweet little film out called Le Weekend, which is the story of an aging couple who goes to Paris to try and rekindle their love.
Some
funny scenes with Jeff Goldblum in that. That movie I do recommend. Music this week at the Coach House. Got some good stuff. We've got Badfinger. You may have seen the movie Magic Christian years ago. They were featured in that. They're kind of a Beatles type of sound. Common Sense, our own Common Sense, takes the main stage down there.
And
Jeff Bridges, the actor. He got some critical acclaim for playing a musician in a movie. Now he's taking his band on the road.
That's at the Coach House.
It is indeed.
San Juan Capistrano.
Now, for you nerds that are Comic-Con wannabes, there's some kind of loser bowl called WonderCon that's going on up in Anaheim. And you dress up in Spider-Man costumes and run around and do things like that.
Well, you know, I actually have a friend who dresses up in a Batman costume, and he loves it.
He goes to this thing.
He goes to this thing. He gets all dressed up, and it's a big ordeal.
And why do you do that?
Don't know.
They just work. They're like adults in Halloween running around. Right?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it is. But I guess they have fun.
Sounds very strange to me. Up at the Amundsen, we've got the Gershwin's Porky and Bess is getting good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see something very strange, Philip Glass has one of his pieces being done up at the Disney Concert Hall tonight. He always writes kind of strange music, but quite interesting. Now, if you're a stoner, I would highly recommend. I am not. There's a Pink Floyd Laserium show going on at House of Blues tonight. So you get whacked out of your mind and you go listen to Dark Side of the Moon and lasers fly around the room.
Yeah.
Why you would pay for that, I'm not quite sure.
You know, does anybody know the story? You play that album backwards or something to... We got Max Tech in the room. Let's get Max on the line, by the way. You play that album backwards to
the
Wizard of
Oz.
What's that about, Max?
Honestly, I don't know. I've done it before, and it's pretty as a 70s hippie would say, psychedelic, bro.
But you've done what before, specifically?
Oh, I've watched Wizard of Oz with Pink Floyd going backwards. They have a website that does it for you.
Really?
Yeah.
And did you experience any sort of...
I did not hit Enigma, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
No, you did not?
No.
Were there any moments that sort of stood out over others?
The most significant moments was usually the most significant moments in the movie.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of, you saw something going on the film. I don't want to spoil anyone who's never seen a classic.
What was playing when the Flying Monkeys were terrorizing everyone?
Oh, that was a nice, steady, funky beat going on when
there
that happened.
Good.
Yeah.
Huh. Very interesting. You know, there is a scene, by the way, I think it's right after Dorothy collects the scarecrow. And they turn to go off to see the wizard, and he sort of falls down on his knees. And if you look off into the background, something falls in the background and swings from what appears to be a tree. And the story is that one of the Munchkins committed suicide. And so if you go and visit that scene, you will see exactly that, and it looks exactly like some little guy dangling from one of those trees in the background who hung himself in the background.
That's what you're going with.
No, go check it out. I'm telling you, it's there. It is okay. Definitely there.
Could be just a light falling in the cord it was hanging on it.
Well, it could be, but okay. I like my story better.
I like your story a lot better.
All right, we have Max Tech in the room, our San Francisco reporter, who has recently been to the Developers Conference at Google discussing advanced technology programs. And just like Robert here, you travel in some interesting circles, my friend. That's very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what's going on?
So I was recently at Google's Mountain View headquarters, and I applied as a student to be one of the first developers on this advanced technology and project, Project Aura. And this is under the leadership of former DARPA employees, Regina Duggan and Paul Ermico. And the project is basically the first ever, and it will be successful, attempt of a modular cell phone. So when someone asks me to explain that, I like to relate to another product that's modular, like a B-52. You know, the airplane?
Sure.
Those have been around since the 50s, but they're still frequently flying around now. That's because the skeleton of the plane is the old part, but you can swap out the technologies, you can swap out panels, you can basically replace the whole plane without destroying the whole plane. Unlike new products, like, say, your Toyota brakes, you got to get a new Toyota because you can't fix that yourself or swap out the parts yourself. So you basically get to choose what your phone can and can't do. When this idea was first introduced, millions of experts around the world claimed a modular cell phone is impossible. But the team's leader, Paul Ermico, famously said this week, "But hey, we're Google."
We've got billions of dollars. We can do whatever we want.
Exactly. And when I say modular, it means you have modules you can stick in and out of your phone. The consumer can. You don't need any experience or anything. And modules can range from thermal cameras to pulse readers to, hey, even extra battery. So as a developer...
Can I have like a toaster oven plug-in? Could you do that?
Yeah, or a dart gun or something.
There you go.
But as a developer, I'm actually going to be trying to make my own module. And one of the first ones I'll be working on is actually a high-quality microphone. And I'll be using that microphone to answer our calls for this show.
Wow.
So when I'm talking, hopefully within the next year, I'll be talking to you through a microphone I made inside my cell phone.
Wow.
Wow, that's very interesting. You're quite talented in this area, yes?
I heard a rumor about a new Apple product. I wanted to know if you could confirm it.
Here we go.
It's called the iTit. Do you know about this? It's a radio that is implanted into a woman's breast because women always say they're tired of men not listening to them and staring at their breasts. So they can listen while they stare. Is that product coming out? I just heard about that.
I'm actually, because I'm one of the developers behind that project, I'm not allowed to say. You can say I have hands-on development on that one.
Okay. Skiba.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. So back to the modular, right?
Phone? Oh, so I have two favorite things about this, or two reasons why I love this project. The first is the project is aimed to make phones easily accessible to the 5 billion people who can't afford cell phones. The main goal of this project isn't to give someone like myself like the coolest cell phone they can ever have. It's to give a cell phone to someone who couldn't afford otherwise. So the reason that being is, say you're a farmer in Peru or something, you don't need Wi-Fi, or you say you don't need cellular data, you only need Wi-Fi because you want to use it at internet cafes or something. You don't have to pay the extra money to buy like the cellular capability. Say you don't even have any memory. You don't need memory. You just use your phone to call people. You don't need a memory chip. You can just put in an extra bandwidth and have super strong signal wherever you go. And by 2015, they aim to have a basic gray phone, which can be bought anywhere around the phone with basic cell phone features for $50, and you can take parts in and out.
You know, it sounds like, maybe I don't want to go there, but it sounds to me like it's a very complicated process to be swapping out part. I have a hard enough time trying to figure out, navigate, you know, my apps. Mm-hmm. I mean, Google is really expecting people to be able to swap out these parts.
So this is an interesting part about it. It is, it's exterior, so you're not going inside the phone.
Okay.
There's these little pieces, and they look like little puzzle pieces that slide in and out of an endoskeleton.
Think of it like a Lego.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, okay. It's like a Lego phone. And the way they don't fall out, like say if you were to drop it or something, they use electromagnetic pulse. So as soon as you put the part you want in and you go on the phone and you confirm you want it in, it sends electricity through magnets. And I've already seen the first product of this doing this, and it's pretty amazing. Uh-huh. And say you can slide the part in and out easily. As soon as you press that pulse button, that's locked in there. You could throw your phone on the ground, and the pieces won't go flying around, and they won't come out until you want them to come out. And they're, like I said, or as Robert said, it's like a Lego.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. You mentioned a pulse reader. Did I hear that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is that something that reads pulses?
Yes.
And so why would somebody need, I mean, to monitor their pulse if they're exercising or something?
So my second favorite part, what was I going to say about this, is the personality these phones can hold. That's because Google's Daniel Makowski, who I'm actually trying to get on our show, he'll be vacationing in Laguna Beach this summer. He is what I like to call he's the mediator between engineers and consumers. He's the guy who stands there at Google and says, guys, they have no idea how this is going to work, or guys, they're going to love this. And he's a genius at that. And the phone will be easily, literally anything you want it to be. If you're a hiker, it could be a weatherproof, long-lasting, super GPS phone. Or say if you're a doctor, you can have modules that are specific to pulses. You could have modules that do voice reporting. You could have modules that have like super loud ringers, so you can get notified in the middle of the night that you got to go do a surgery. So the I've actually seen the pulse module, and it sticks off the end of your phone, and you just put your fingerprint on it.
Wow, that's amazing. That is really amazing where technology is going these days.
It is indeed.
Yeah. Very nice, Max. I mean, you just bring cutting-edge tech information into this room, and we so appreciate that. You're just a wealth of information.
I don't know about that, but thank you, Scott. But I do have one question for you and Robert.
Okay.
If you were to make your own phone, whatever you imagine could be made with this module technology, what kind of modules would you think you want?
Wow, that's a tough one. Hmm. What kind of module would I want?
You can have high-quality Nikon camera. You could have giant speaker so you can listen to your music very loud.
Uh-huh. Yeah, none of those appeal to me.
Those are both good for me. I'd go with a Leica, though.
I was looking at you when I said that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that. I really would, yeah. I don't know. It'd be nice if we could buy a cell phone, I guess, on the radio show and have this radio show automatically recorded on my cell phone that I can easily just sort of broadcast out very quickly to Facebook subscribers or whoever else is out there that I want to send it to, you know, like, you know, as soon as the show's over.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool, I would think. Can you make that happen?
Yeah, you could do that.
Can we call it Radio Caravan?
Yeah. You could do that now. That's just software.
Yep. Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, what do I know? See, I'm behind the times already. any other stuff? That's great.
That's it.
Wonderful, Max. Thanks a lot. That's very cool.
Thanks, round of applause for Max here. Beautiful. You got to come down more often.
I'd love to. Thanks. Yeah.
All right, Max. Thanks so much. Hey, also in the room this morning, by the way, we have a guest. Musician Scott Foster.
Phenomenal musician.
Phenomenal.
You're going to love him.
Yeah, he was playing a little earlier, and he sounded great. And I'm really looking forward to that. But right now we have our lifestyle coach, Miss Jill Harvey, our healthy lifestyle coach. How are you, young lady?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
Hey, you know, I have heard that Wizard of Oz story.
Uh-huh.
Thing is true.
Yeah, it is true.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. See? And April
see?
Is also Earth Day, not just grilled cheese. Month. It's Earth.
Last time it was corn
That's
dogs.
That's the difference
for him.
In our lifestyles. I'm all about the grilled cheese. You're about Earth and
yeah, a little different
Mother
awareness
Earth over here.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, so Earth Day. You know, that's a nice little segue for us. Yeah.
Yeah. It's next week, the 22nd.
Uh huh.
And you know, whether you believe in global climate change or not, it's good to be aware,
right,
that we are consuming and abusing our planet.
Sure.
You know, we're very wasteful. And so, you know, I just think remembering the three R's, which are, do we know?
I don't.
Well, so they're not red wine, rum, and reclining. They're recycle, reuse, and reduce. So we're in any of those areas, we can do any of those things, would be fantastic. Like composting is a great way to help eliminate waste.
Do you compost?
I don't.
Composting is very big in like the Midwest, but I don't see a lot of composting out here.
We should do it more. Yeah. But, it also leads us into this time of year, which is spring, and everybody's into cleaning and diets and detox diets and personal cleanses. So do you guys ever do seasonal cleanses? Think in your diet, like you need to cleanse?
Yeah, no.
I do a nectar cleanse about every other month.
I bet you do.
I actually do.
You do?
Shocking,
oh, okay,
isn't
that
it?
Kind of nectar. Okay, true.
No, the nectar juice bar, the fresh
you do that
cold
nectar.
Pressed juices, those are delicious.
What do you do?
You get six juices, and that's your meal for a day, and it's a good cleanse.
You do nothing for 24 hours but drink juice?
Yeah, I do it for about a day and a half normally.
Really? And do you not like have these desires for food during that 24 hours?
After the first, I'd say, 6 hours or so, you're just used to it.
And what's the purpose?
It literally cleanses your body out.
And how do you feel the next day?
Good, and good while you're doing it. Hmm. And the juices will have cayenne peppers and other spices in them, and each one's different.
Wow.
So, Robert, how often do you do that?
About once every other month or so.
Once every other month. So, this leads us into, though, the pros and cons of these cleanses and these detoxes. So I think it's good to give our bodies a break. I think that's awesome. I think our digestive systems are assaulted. You know, we assault our bodies. We have environmental pollutants. So it is a good idea. But I think some of them in the extreme, when they're running longer than like 3 days, can be dangerous and do more harm. But, truly, though, science, I do believe we can cleanse our bodies, but science hasn't proven that that's happening, that we're eliminating toxins and pesticides and residual chemicals that we breathe in from the air. So it's not a proven science, but I think it's a good start. I think it's a good idea to do that.
So you're suggesting that the Gandhi cleanse is not healthy for you? It's apparently 40 days of not
40
eating.
Days, yeah, no,
no,
yeah.
Not good?
Not good.
He doesn't look so good.
I mean, we need water. People do it. It depends, also because you have to watch your activity level and you have to know your body. But I do believe 2-3 days are good. But, we are amazing human beings. We have to trust our bodies. We have 6 major pathways of elimination and natural detoxification as well. And so those can become overburdened, but those 6 pathways are, first let me ask you, do you know the largest organ of the human body?
Skin.
Yes.
Hey.
Very good.
Thank you. Robert's
Bravo.
Not clapping, though.
No,
you see?
He's not.
He's competitive.
I had
way.
A funnier answer, but
I knew. I knew. I was so glad you answered, Scott, because I thought he would.
I saw his face. I saw where he was going. I wanted to cut him off right away.
Yeah. So the skin is one of the, pathways of elimination. We have the kidneys, the liver, the lungs, the bowels, intestines, and the lymphatic system. So these are really powerful. We have to trust them, but they can become burdened. But these extreme cleanses that are really restrictive can also burden. And you have to check with your doctor. Always stay under a doctor's care whenever you're starting into any of them. But, you can lose electrolyte balance. You can lose fluid balance. You can lose good gut bacteria. So because some people are doing colon cleanses along the way, and they're doing certain herbs that allow the body to pass toxins quickly in certain manners. So, those I think can be fine, but people who do them again extended periods of time can put themselves into a, weaker immune system as well.
What do you think of the Richard Gere cleanse? Is that a bad
You know what? I'd stay away from that one.
Would you?
Yeah,
okay.
Personally, yeah.
That's a reference from a long time ago,
right,
is it not?
It was indeed.
Yeah,
it is.
So we may not all be as hip as you are on that
officer
one.
That's not mine, and I don't know how it got there.
That was very creepy.
So how you would recommend then
would
for
recommend
the average listener
a 2-3 day juice salad. I think that's fine. A better option would be a 7-21 day kind of challenge where you're eliminating alcohol and sugar and refined
wait
products.
A minute, back up. What did you say?
Here we go.
Sorry about that. The eliminating alcohol.
Yeah.
If you try it, you'd be amazed how you lose that fog in the head and you feel better. You have more energy.
I'm sorry. I was blacking out
I think
there. What'd you
just
say?
Out, yeah. So, that's a better way to go. But ultimately, it's a day-to-day process to keep our immune system strong. We're increasing our water. We're increasing our vegetables and fruits, which have a variety of vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients that actually support our organs and help them do the job they're meant to do. So, and also in that, you can add your lean proteins, your fibers, carbs, because fiber adds, acts like a brush in your colon. You want that. You want those fibers and your healthy fats. And then also along with that, eliminating household toxins, so your chemicals that you use to clean, because it's off-gassing. You're breathing it in. And, you know, I had myself a...
I was just going to say, you had an experience recently.
Yes,
that,
I almost killed myself this week. So that's why my voice sounds a little raspy.
What happened?
Oh, that's another long story in a bottle of wine. But,
okay.
Yeah, no, I was cleaning something and mixing chemicals and not wearing gloves and breathing it in. And within 30 minutes, I started to burn in the throat and the sinuses. And it's very dangerous.
You're sort of hypersensitive to that sort of stuff.
I think so.
Yeah.
But I think that... I am. I'm also very aware, but most people are and may just brush those symptoms aside.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, very aware. Mm-hmm. But, you know, another thing to do is to start moving, start sweating. And if you don't sweat, some people don't sweat, mm-hmm. is to sit in a sauna mm-hmm. or steam. Mm-hmm. And dry skin brushing is fantastic. So mm-hmm. before you shower, you just take a dry brush and get your body brushed from head to toe.
You know, I had a facial the other day.
You didn't.
Of course I did.
There's a glow about you
today.
I'm
a petty manny kind of guy, you know. I can man up for these things. But there was this sort of electric sort of thing that was, I don't know, she was exfoliating my mm-hmm. face. And then it was like sandpaper.
Yeah.
It was like she was sanding off the skin.
You are glowing.
I feel like I'm glowing today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I thought you were pregnant.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Well, So,
you know, neti pot. Have you heard of the neti pots?
No.
So they're irrigation systems for your sinuses.
Oh.
They look like little teapots.
And
you
know
fill
those
them,
things,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you fill them
it's
with...
It's kind of disgusting, though.
It's awesome. It really is a fantastic thing. But, you know, and that thing, too... A lot of people like these detox things. They think they're losing weight, but they're losing water. Mm-hmm. And then the long ones, you're going to lose muscle. So, again, that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. And with these, we want to be careful of detox symptoms. You know, so when you're going off sugar or alcohol or any of these, you can feel nauseous, have headaches, right. You know, et cetera. But, gentlemen, what is the most toxic thing for your body?
Cigarette smoke.
Sugar.
Both of those are fantastic, but it's a bad attitude.
Oh, so well, that's definitely me. I know. I got accused of that last night.
Oh,
so.
Right. And yet you were glowing.
Yeah.
What's that about? But, you know, our minds, you know, we detox our attitudes. If you walk around negative, right? I mean, it's really true. And you're stuffing and harboring emotions and old resentments.
Right.
Those things can make you sick. So, you know, it's also detoxing negative people in your life. It's like, let them keep them... What?
So
you guys just looked at each other.
Well, in the words
funny.
Of in the words of Frozen, let it go would be your advice, right?
You know, absolutely, or move on. And then nourish yourself with people who have, in your spirit, with people who have a good outlook on life.
Yeah.
You know, they're always fun to be around. Share a smile, leave a nice message for someone.
That's nice. That's beautiful,
yeah.
Joe. Good information today, really.
Fun,
group
right?
hug for us as soon as we get go off air.
Group hug.
Love you all.
Thank you so much. We're
going
to see you next week for sure in the studio. I think
we
may or may not have cameras in here. We'll see how that turns out. But
have a beautiful day.
Thank you,
okay.
Ms. Jill.
Bye, you guys.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much, Robert.
You're up, my friend. We've got Scott Foster who's out there waiting to come in and play live. So let's start with Legends of Rock.
Legends of Rock. Rock.
Two guys met in Philadelphia in 1967 in a band competition going head-to-head. Gunfire erupted, and they fled the building, running to a common elevator. While in the elevator, they discovered they had a lot in common, and that they loved what they called Philly Soul. That day, America's greatest pop duo of all time was formed. Daryl Franklin Hall and John William Oates first met up in Philly in 1967. They later moved in together, and on the mailbox, the owner typed the words Hall & Oates. Needless to say, that became their name. And by the way, in fairness, this is really Legends of Pop today, I would say, as much as Legends
of
Rock.
Well, I called you about that earlier.
I know. I think you had a good point. So, 72, 74, their first albums came out. They didn't have a lot of commercial success, but this is off of Band and Luncheonette, which I think is one of the finest albums ever made. It was produced by Todd Rundgren and others, and to this day, Hall and Rundgren are still friends. Indeed, he was on his show recently.
Wow.
So they moved on later, and they changed record companies. They went to Atlantic, and they released their second album, War Babies. They left Atlantic and went to RCA. And on that, we were talking about smiling being very healthy. They came up with, again, one of my favorite songs, a beautiful tune called Sarah Smile. John Hall has one of the most amazing voices I've ever heard.
Yeah, he does.
And Oates just kind of sits there smiling on his guitar. So So this was their first real hit, and shockingly went all the way up to number four in 1976. And then they released their second hit, a completely different sound, about a girl we all know, The Rich Girl.
You're a rich girl, and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl.
That would be a Fender 73 Rhodes piano.
Yeah, as a piano player. Yeah,
it's a great sound. It was actually invented by an engineer during World War II who had spare aluminum parts, and he formed the piano out of aluminum.
Is that true?
That's hitting a little aluminum tine. That's what makes that actual sound. Which is why they break all the time.
Look at you go again. I just love it when you get off on tangents.
All right, so they didn't have great commercial success with this, even though they had a couple number one hits. So in their genius, RCA decided that John Hall should go on his own. And in their ultimate genius, they thought, who better than Robert Fripp of King Crimson to produce him? Totally insane. The album was an absolute disaster called Sacred Songs. And if you've heard it, you know why. Paul needed Oates. Oates always kept him poppy and kept him focused, and that's why they wrote all their songs together. So the 80s come about, and things start happening for them, but they don't like their sound. They want a more raw sound, so they move to where? New York, and they record in an old friend Mr. Hendrix's studios, Electric Land Studios. They wrote, produced, and recorded their next album, Voices, in less than a month. They had a number of hits that came off it, including Kiss on My List. Totally unique sound. Then they're also famous for ballads, and if you've ever seen them live, Hall will do an amazing 10 or 15 minute version of Every Time You Go Away. It's one of the best live performances I've ever seen.
I agree on this.
Completely different sound, more their Philly soul sound.
Yeah.
You may recall British singer Paul Young later stole it and redid it and got it into a number one hit, but I prefer this version. So then they wanted to get poppier again, and they came out in 81 with their album, none other than Private Eyes. They immediately follow that up with another hit, I Can't Go For That. Again, a totally different song. They evolve.
Me likey.
1982, they came out with a very polished H2O, their most successful album of all time, which featured the hit One on One. You may not have known this, but this was a metaphorical reference to romance and basketball, the term One on One. The NBA made a commercial about this featuring James Worthy dunking to this song for NBA commercials.
I did not know that.
Fall of 1983 came out with a number of number ones, and they did a rock and roll, Soul Part 1, the best of Hall & Oates. But they didn't use just old songs. They actually put out a new song, and they got a number one hit out of this as well, Say It Isn't So. Again, every song a total different vibe. 1984 comes along and they come out with Big Bang Boom. And they got one hit out of that as well. They were out of touch, baby. This would be their number six number one song. Frankly, not their best song.
Agreed.
In 2009, they came out with another box CD set. Do What You Want to Do, Be What You Want to Be. And I think that's one of their better songs. Hall & Oates are best remembered for having six number one singles. Rich Girl, Kiss on My List, Private Eyes, I Can't Go For That, Out of Touch, and a song I refuse to even mention or talk about, Maneater, the worst thing they've ever done.
I thought you weren't going to mention that.
Oh, I just hadn't mentioned how bad it was.
All right.
They had 34 chart hits over their career. 7 platinum albums, 6 gold, and to this day remain the most famous duo in history. They were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2014. They still tour to this day. And Daryl Hall has an amazing show called Live at Daryl's House on Pandemonium TV on cable.
Great.
Encourage you to watch it. It's phenomenal.
Legends of Rock, Robert, very nice. Mixing, of course, by Brian Holtz here. Very nice job. Hey, you're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan, here with my co-host, Robert Palmer. And in the studio, we have the whole reason we're here today. Musician slash gold dredger, Scott Foster. Good morning, sir.
How's it going, guys?
Welcome, Foster. How you doing, man?
Good, good. Good to be here.
You came to our attention through Robert, actually. I guess you and Robert sort of had a connection. He had seen you play before.
Yeah.
He did a release party for his last album up at Dwight Manley's house, and I was blown away by what I saw, and he's become a friend ever since.
Yeah, that sounds great. So, you know, we're kind of limited on time, so I want to move quickly here, but I think one of the things that we talked about that people find most interesting about you is that you've been on the Discovery Channel on a reality TV show as a guy that goes out and scours the bottom of the ocean for gold.
That's right.
Yeah, can you just describe a little bit about that job? I mean, I don't know anyone else who has that job.
Yeah, so
at least it's still alive.
I'm an underwater vacuum cleaner. You know, I dive down with a big vacuum hose and I dredge up the gravel off the seabed, and it's got little particles of gold in it, and it gets sucked up and it runs through a little trap, and then I collect all the concentrates and separate the gold from it.
How deep do you go?
Honestly, I never go deeper than 30 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And you run into decompression issues, and if you want to make money gold mining, you got to be down there a long time moving a lot of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you you can't make any money if you have to keep coming up to decompress.
You've right. got your own rig that you made too, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Yeah, I had to. You know, it's such a niche thing that no companies really make large-scale underwater dredging equipment for this application. You have to make it yourself. This is really, there's like two places in the whole world that you can actually be profitable.
You went to Radio Shack and bought the parts for this? How do you figure out how to make that thing?
You know, that's a good question. There are small ones that people have been using in rivers for, you know, 30 years. And we basically take those concepts and make them bigger, and we put them on boats that can actually propel themselves through the water. You know, it looks like a bunch of party barges with a big hose on the front of it. You know,
it's a big, wide ocean out there. How do you know where to go? I mean, you just go anywhere and start, you know, diving down and looking for gold?
No, it's the particular area we do it is in Nome, Alaska, which is. There was a gold rush there back in 1900. I mean, even Wyatt Earp owned property up in Nome. He opened up a saloon there because it had boomed so much.
Mm-hmm.
And the miners first discovered gold in the beach sand. And there were times where you could shovel like one shovel full of sand and it would have like an ounce of gold in it.
Whoa.
It was incredibly rich back in the day. And it wasn't until the 80s that they started, you know, drilling and exploring for gold offshore in Nome. There, some other companies had done it in the surrounding area, but they found that this gold that was in the beach sand was actually, it went out for miles into the ocean. And so my friend Jan Kralik, he worked on a drill crew for one of these large dredging operations, and he noticed that they were finding gold right on the surface. It didn't go very deep below the seabed. So he was actually the first one to get a small suction dredge and just dive down and suck it up instead of use some huge machine. And His first, like, week doing it, by the time he got his dredge up there, he mined for about a week, and he pulled, like, 200-and-something ounces.
Wow.
With a little 5-inch dredge. I mean, he said he got down there, and the bottom of the ocean was just gold sand on it. You know,
wow,
it's incredible.
So
how many years have you been doing it?
Since 2008.
Since 2008, and mm-hmm. This is sort of a part-time gig for you?
Yeah, it's just something that I do in the summertime.
Uh-huh.
Nome, the port of Nome is only open, or I should say thawed, from late May to the end of November.
Hmm.
And it's dredgeable from the beginning of June until, you know, the middle of October.
And you brought with you today, you were showing me before, these two little pieces of gold.
I did.
Can you just, these were pieces you found?
Yeah.
On one of your excursions?
Yeah, so to describe them, they look kind of like small peanuts, sort of, that have been mashed around a bit. And these are by far the biggest I've ever found.
Yeah.
It's extremely rare to find gold pieces this size. Most of what I find is the size of, like, table salt.
And we should say it's about the size of a cuff link or a little peanut, as you say. And you carry these around with you because they're good luck?
They're good luck, and I'm just not a very good conversationalist.
You need something to talk about, right? Yeah. Here's my gold.
Walk up to a girl in a bar. Hey, look, I got some gold in my pocket.
Yeah, whenever there's a moment of dry silence.
Yeah. That's funny.
And I say, I found this on the bottom of the ocean.
Want to see my gold pieces in my pocket?
Yeah, let me show you my nuggets.
All right, let's move off that. Hey, so, I mean, that's really interesting. It really is. And you were on the Discovery Channel on a reality TV show called Bearing for Sea Gold. Do I have that?
Bearing Sea Gold.
Bearing Sea Gold.
Yeah, my friend and I, we made a video of my operation, and we sent it to Discovery Channel.
Wow.
And, like, a week later, we had producers knocking us up and saying, hey, come on, like, let's get this going.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, we were able to participate on the first season of that show. It's still going, actually. They're in their fourth season now.
So. Yeah, beautiful. So we're going to make a rough transition here. I had some other questions, and I'll kind of run through these. You're a mixed martial arts guy, which is interesting. You spend winter months at the Montage Resort in Park City as a musician. You're a missionary. You got a lot going on in your life, but you've kind of moved out to Orange County.
That's right.
To pursue your music career.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I was going to say, to make this story quick, I was gold mining in the summertime, and I started playing music in the wintertime. It started off as a hobby, and then I started seeing it on cruise ships. That was fun for a little while, and then I started seeing it at the ski resort in Deer Valley, Utah, the Montage Resort, and my current manager heard me singing there, and she just walks up to me. She's this little Korean lady. She walks up to me, puts her finger right in my face. She's like, you don't take your career seriously. What are you doing here? You need to get out of this place. You need to move on to bigger, better things. You're not thinking big enough. And I'm just like, golly, lady. Turns out she's Orange County's the chief of staff of the DA's office.
Wow.
And she's like, I've managed, you know, politicians. And she's like, I want to manage you. And she's like, you need to move down to California. So she flew me down several times, introduced me to some people. That's, you know, I did this show. That's where I met Robert here.
Right.
And he said the same thing. He's like, dude, you need to decide who you want to be, what you want to do. And
Robert said this?
Yeah, uh-huh. And you need to take your career seriously.
Right.
and he's like, you got to get down to California.
Not quite that politely, though. That was the gist of what I said.
You know, I'm buttering it up.
Okay.
And so I get down here, and I'm making music.
That's a beautiful story. How long have you been here?
I've been here since November.
Since November of last year.
And what got us on that was the mixed martial arts fighting.
Yep.
So I got into fighting in the wintertime. That was just what I would do when I wasn't singing.
Yeah.
And
why ski in Deer Valley when you can just go beat the hell out of somebody?
Yeah, well, you know, the time I met my manager, I had a black eye like from my first fight. But it was just, you know, it was, I don't know if it's like ADD, but I just like to keep my hand in a lot of different pots. I got a lot of irons in the fire.
That's good. Very good. Yeah. So you're out here. You have a new CD out titled Naked Heart.
Naked Heart.
I'm sorry?
Naked Heart.
Oh, and you're working on some new stuff as well for, I guess, your next CD.
That's correct.
And so you brought your guitar. You have
your
Martin with you. And what should we start off with to maybe hear a little bit of something to give us a sense of, you know, your skills and talents?
I'll do a little song. This is the title song off of Naked Heart.
Okay.
And it's called Naked Heart. Here we go.
Why doesn't joy ever find me? Am I too heavy to have or to hold? Cover the shame of my naked heart and show me more love than I know. Why must you always have to be so slowly? Show me your hurry, yeah. Take to the open road.
Anyhow.
Wow.
It's kind of a hoppy little song.
I love that song. Have you been sort of, has anybody said you sort of have this unique sound? And you have a beautiful voice, by the way.
Thank you.
Just a beautiful voice. Was that natural for you? You just sort of, you didn't take voice lessons or guitar lessons
no.
or anything like that?
I wish I did, you know. I had to like kind of fight my way through music.
Yeah.
And it was just like a process of elimination, like try everything and just try to uproot all the stuff that didn't sound good. And, you know, so it took me a long time.
Yeah. Do you read music?
A little bit.
A little bit, but you just kind of play those chords naturally. What were the chords you were playing, by the way? They were sort of unusual chords.
This is an A, but it's got a raised six on it to the B, but that's, I guess you would call that an 11.
Okay.
Minor 11, sorry.
Yeah. He once asked me to learn to play one of his songs. I go, you write so strange. You've got your chord progressions are so complicated.
Yeah, they really are.
He likes diminished and augmented chords.
Well, and it's, you know, and that's actually something I'm trying to move away from.
Why?
It's a little jazzy, and some, you know, my personality, sometimes I focus more on like, wow, that sounds like so unique, or that's so, you know, my ear isn't used to that, which can be good in music, but sometimes, you know, there's a reason why pop is pop. It's because it's palatable and it's easy to listen to. And so as a musician, and Robert told me, he's like, dude, you need to start learning how to play stuff that, like, it, you know, that's a kick in the pants.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what you're doing sometimes kind of sounds a little elevatory. Hmm. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to
see how supportive I am.
Jeez. I thought that was beautiful. I love the chord structures. I love the vocals on that.
I didn't pick my worst song.
You know, you got to get through about 20 bad songs, I guess, before you get the one good one. I think Jack Temption talked about that.
Yeah, more than 20.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
More than 20.
Is there another song maybe that you're currently working on you want to share with us so we can kind of hear the new sound?
Yeah. Here's one that I've been tinkering around with. It's called Extraordinary. And I've been producing this with Stan Frazier, the drummer of Sugar Ray, Orange County's own Sugar Ray. Anyhow, he's been helping me produce this song. Here we go.
And it's so extraordinary having somebody to love. It's just the sort of stuff that I'm not used to. Lonely was I living, I was oh so out of luck. Till I found a four-leaf clover and it was you. So love me the way that lovers do. Speak to me in language I can speak. And it's so extraordinary having somebody to love. It's just the sort of stuff that I'm not used to.
Woo!
You know, it's a work in progress.
That's beautiful.
Changes every time I play it, but you get the point. It's still happy. It's still kind of jazzy, you know, but it's a little bit more memorable. It's something you can still, it's palatable.
You sort of work in sort of that falsetto voice as well, which you do quite naturally.
Yeah, that might just be because it's morning and I'm too afraid. If I try to belt anything, I'll sound a little adolescent that way.
When you write a song, do you usually start with the chord structure and the melody? Do you start with the lyrics? How does your process work?
Every song has been different.
Okay.
And honestly, I think my best work that I've done thus far has been when I was in a live situation, like a bar or a restaurant or something, but I'm playing background music. And my hands and my mind are so tired of playing the same songs over and over again. Mm-hmm. And they just say, we want to play chords that feel like this. We want to play something that sounds like this. And I'll just, like the other day, this is probably a year or so ago, but I was playing this tune. You know, I was in this restaurant and these, like, you know, these girls would walk by and it was a really posh restaurant and, you know, they're with their rich dads. And I was, you know, it's like, I don't know what it is among that culture, but it's like, it's not cool to acknowledge a musician singing in the corner. And so I wrote this song called Fallen Star, and it's just about, like, you know, seeing these, like, beautiful girls walk by and just being totally ignored by them, you know. And anyhow, but that was a song that I wrote in a live scenario. And to this day, I actually don't have the words written down anywhere.
It sounded like the sequel to Blackbird or something. That sounded very McCartney-esque. It was really pretty.
Yeah, you know, that's actually kind of what I was going for. So I'm glad you said that.
Oh, funny. It's the second time I guessed your song. That's nice. The feel it had to it.
Hey, before we forget, where can people purchase your CD, Naked Heart?
Naked Heart, is right now it's available on my website.
Okay.
And that's foster.mu.
Foster, F-O-S-T-E-R dot M-U.
Mm-hmm.
And they can purchase directly from there?
Mm-hmm. You can download it on there. You can listen to it on there, stream it, whatever you want.
Great. You have some gigs coming up anytime soon that people can come and hear you live? Anything you want to talk about?
I've got a couple opportunities. One, I've been fortunate enough to be producing some music with Louis Richards. He was the producer of Sublime with Rome, mm-hmm. The Dirty Heads, Slightly Stupid, you know, some of these bands that have come out of Orange County.
Yeah.
And he and I are going to be, he's actually going to be joining me in a show we're going to be doing at Tiki Bar up in Costa Mesa.
Nice.
And I'll probably have some of the original members of the band Sugar Ray performing with me on that one.
That sounds great.
And then one I'm really looking forward to, and this is going to be a great opportunity, this fall, I'll be participating in this rally event called Beat Heat. It's an anti-human exploitation and trafficking rally, raising awareness. It's going to be put on by the Orange County DA's office.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's something that I'm just donating my time to. There's not going to be, you know, any overhead as far as that goes.
Yeah. You did that last year as well, right?
I did, and it was such a success, and it was a wonderful opportunity. And it was the founders of Sugar Ray that were going to be performing, and they heard me in the studio, and their drummer Stan, he was like, "You want to sing lead for us?" I was like,
"Wow,
are you kidding me? I would love to."
So does like DA Tony Rakakis get up and play tambourine with you or anything? Because I'd come to that.
Not exactly, but yeah, that would be a show. Right?
That would be a show.
Hey, so again, let's. This is KX93.5 Laguna's Only FM. This is Radio Caravan. We're in the studio this morning with Scott Foster. You're working on some new music. Do you have a projected date when this new music will be sort of compiled and released?
Right now, I'm looking at I want to say Labor Day.
Labor Day's coming up.
Memorial Day. The other one. I never know which one's which.
Yeah, that's
the end of summer one.
You have a title for the album yet?
Don't have a title.
Okay. And, you know, one of the things I tracked down was a song called Heart of the Man. I love this line. It's not the fight. It's the size of the heart in the man.
Mm-hmm.
We got about 2 minutes. Is there a brief backstory to this, and you want to roll into that as we head out?
Yeah, I'll give you the backstory. So John Mayer, back in 2006, was 2005, was hosting a songwriting competition. And he posted some lyrics on his website, and he said, "Hey, go get these lyrics, make a song out of them, put them to a melody or something, submit that, and I'll see what I think about it." And so all the submissions went to Esquire magazine.
Wow.
I wrote a song with his lyrics, and I liked my melody and I liked my lyrics better than his. And so I didn't win the songwriting contest.
Yeah.
I did make it in the top 75.
Good.
So
did you hear the top one?
I never went to hear it.
Oh, okay.
But the funny thing is, it was Esquire magazine who did all the pre-screening before they sent the top 75 selections to John Mayer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I got a phone call a few months. A few months went by. I hadn't heard anything, so I was like, "Oh, I guess I didn't win."
Right.
And then, I get this random phone call from this girl from Esquire magazine. She's like, "Hey, we just wanted you to know everyone at Esquire loved your song the most. We really were rooting for you. Wanted you to win. You didn't win, but you're awesome." Maybe they called 75 other dudes and told them the same thing.
132 dudes, probably.
But
tell you the funny thing. When I was looking over the internet, we got 1 minute. When I was looking over the internet, that's the one that sort of captured my attention. So this is Scott Foster on KX93.5. The title of this song is "Heart of the Man."
Well, tonight alone, in spite of myself, nobody here, no one to tell me it's no use. Trying to lift myself with the shoes, and everything's undone, like the wreck that I've become. I'm not hurting anyone, but I'm hasty with my love. Well, such is the life of illusions I live. I'm too uptight with the love that I give. Well, such is the size of confusion I have. It's not the fight, it's the size of the heart of the man.
Wow.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful. Thanks for coming in, Scott.
Thank you. Thanks so much, buddy.
Next time we'll bring you in for the full hour.
My pleasure. We'll cut short
a little bit of our other stuff that nobody listens to. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes.
And I'm Robert Palmer.
And this is Radio Caravan. Up next, the Friendship Show.
You've been listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.